Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. Early on in Being and Time, in sections 3 and 4, you're going to see Martin Heidegger using a terminology that I think for many people can be rather confusing, in part because he is relying upon a distinction between the ontic and the ontological, in German the ontische and ontologische, that he doesn't clearly demarcate. He doesn't come even close to defining what these terms are meant to signify, just that there's a difference between them, and he seems to assume that his reader will already be rather conversant with them. Now, most readers are not, so it's natural to get a little bit confused at this point and say, what exactly is he trying to do with this? And so in these two chapters, let's disentangle them apart from each other and then see what the different things that he talks about, how they fit in with these. It gets a little bit more complicated in the fact that he talks about Dasein, or human being understood in the way that Being and Time is analyzing it, as being ontic, ontological. So it gets even more confusing there. So let's start with the distinction itself. We have ontic and we have ontological. Both are coming from the same basic root, to on, which is a being or being in Greek, and we get ontological from that ontos, right? The logical, some sort of study, as Heidegger would say, an interpretation of the object, which is being or a kind of being or entities. And how are these different from each other? So when we're talking about the ontic, what we mean are the concrete, plain facts, the things we can observe about beings, what it is that makes those beings what they are, how we can describe them, how we experience them. You know, this can be the surface level, but this can also be what we might call their deeper nature as described by the various sciences or disciplines. And there's all sorts of ways that we can look at being. You can look at me, for example, in terms of history. You can look at me in terms of mere physiology, which then I guess we would connect with biology. You can look at me in terms of physics as I move around and, you know, the blood circulates through my body. There's all these different ways in which we can observe things, and we say that we get to deeper and deeper levels. So if you're doing, you know, some sort of neurobiological study of my brain, presumably we're getting at things that you can't normally know without all of this technology and equipment and the apparatus of the science to help us out. But that's still ontic. So things like, for example, brain states, purely ontic as far as Heidegger is concerned. It's things you can observe. The ontological has to do with the deeper structure of being. Or if you like, you can use his term existence. It's important that if you do talk about existence that you understand what he actually means by that. So let's remind ourselves very quickly of what he has in mind in bringing up this term. He says that we call the very being to which Dasein can relate in one way or another and somehow always does relate existence. So existence is not a single being. It's not just a range of beings. It is a continual like engagement with being and beings. So back to ontological. When we're trying to map out and thereby to interpret the deeper structures of beings and being in general, or being the being of beings, right? The interpreting the being of beings, then we're engaged with the ontological. It's very tempting for some people to try to associate this with just the particular and the universal or the general. I wouldn't do that. Many universals fit in with the ontic, and the ontological, although it is about, you know, the totality of being, eventually, it also has to do with our own existence. Not just our happening to be in existence, but how we engage with these things that Heidegger is going to call world, being in the world, and time or temporality. That's getting a little bit ahead of us, but that gives you a glimpse into what he's talking about here. And we might make a distinction. If we think about time, this book is Being in Time. Heidegger is going to carry out an extended and very brilliant analysis of temporality, and he's trying to do that in an ontological way, right? A way that actually tries to get at the being of beings, not just what that being is, but how it's related to other beings, going beyond what the other disciplines or sciences can provide to us. We can also think of time as something that we just measure or even dole out to other people. For example, as I'm shooting this video right now, because of the peculiarities of this camera that I'm shooting it with, I can see that we're at a certain mark, and I can see the seconds slipping by, right? That's purely ontic. My experience of time passing, that can be more ontological. So hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. This is something that you have to sort of work your way through and keep applying and keep applying and keep applying and ask yourself, is this ontological or is this ontic? Now, fortunately, Heidegger in these two sections is going to tell us quite a bit about things that are ontic or things that are ontological. He starts out by talking about the ontological priority of the question of being. And then the next section is going to be the ontic priority of the question of being. So already we've got the two different modes here being used. And he tells us being is always the being of a being. The totality of beings can become the field where particular areas of knowledge are exposed and delimited. And these are what we call the sciences or the disciplines. And he's got some very interesting reflections that we'll talk about elsewhere, about sciences exploring their basic concepts. And insofar as they do that, they actually move from the merely ontic into the ontological. When they start to say, well, what is biology really about? What are we doing as biologists? They are now engaged in an interpretation of their own discipline, and ideally it's history and its activities. And that takes them from, you know, mere observation and theory production or things like that into something else. Now, Heidegger is going to go on in this section 3 and tell us that we have ontologies. Now, what is an ontology? This is some sort of interpretation of beings in terms of being. And it's usually going to be done in terms of some sort of representative or typical conception of being. So, for example, because this is very abstract, right? It may be difficult to grasp. If you think about people who understand the entire world in terms of what is quantifiable and what can be operationalized through algorithms, so a sort of very technological and a late modern technological way of approaching things, there you've got an interpretation of being, which is the being of beings. Everything can be turned into an algorithm. Everything can be understood in terms of, if you know, algorithms, decision procedures, and mathematical constructs, right? And we go on and on and on. We can talk about other ways of doing that as well. Now, Heidegger tells us that ontology can be understood in its broadest sense, without reference to specific ontological directions and tendencies. That is, it's not just about, say, religion, or not just about, which is about, you know, the relation to the divine, not just about history, not just about the physical sciences, not just about human beings understood as rational agents, say, in economics. But ontology taken in its broadest sense, he says, this is more original than the ontic inquiry of the positive sciences. But, he cautions us, it remains naive and opaque if it leaves the being of beings, leaves the meaning of being in general undiscussed. So what do we have to do? We have to turn to a general kind of being that is actually related to other beings in a rather unique way. And that is what he's calling Dasein. And we are Dasein, right? So he says, all ontology remains blind if it has not previously clarified the meaning of being. So now we turn to that in this next section. So here he brings up the ontic ontological. He says that the ontic distinction of Dasein lies in the fact that it is ontological. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we, by our very nature, possess a kind of depth and richness that other beings don't have? Yes, that is part of it. And that's something that's a long-standing part of at least certain philosophical traditions. When we make a distinction between the human being, the human person, and the rest of the universe. Sometimes we differentiate the animals off, as Heidegger will actually do in this way, and we say that belongs over there. And there are many interpretations of this, from Plato to Aristotle to the medievals to Descartes to modern scientific ways of looking at these. But Heidegger is telling us that we're ontically distinguished. That means we are distinguished from other beings in that this is part of our very nature. By what? By the fact that this being is concerned about its very being. We have a kind of reflexivity, and it's not necessarily a cognitive reflexivity. This is integral to human consciousness, that we are concerned with the very meaning of our own being. We are the animal who says, not just, I'm a dog, but am I a good dog? You know, the master says, good dog, good dog. Does the dog actually question and say, am I really a good dog? We do that. We do that in a myriad different ways, not just about good, but about all sorts of other things. Is my life an authentic one? Am I on the right track? All of these sorts of things are ways in which we can question our being. Even involved with, have I got matters right? Am I part of some big experiment or hallucination where I'm getting things wrong? All of those open up an ontological depth to us that does have to be understood very often in ontic dimensions, but is ontological. Now, he says the ontic distinction of Dasein lies in this fact that it is ontological. And after this, he's going to keep on using this locution, ontic ontological, to talk about that. The fact that we are grounded, we are rooted in our very ontic aspects of existence. I am this tall. I am wearing this. I am shooting this video at such and such a time on a Thursday. All of those matters are ontic. They root me in the here and now, and yet there's a more beyond that. So he goes on and he tells us, to be ontological does not yet mean to develop ontology. We, as human beings, are continually engaged both ontically and ontologically with the world, with being, and with ourselves, whether we realize it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not. And the goal of Being in Time, this entire work, is to develop what Heidegger is calling a fundamental ontology. Another term that he has for this at this point in his career is a existential analysis of Dasein. But it's connected with these things like time, the world, human nature. All of these great metaphysical, or as he will say, ontological topics. So he goes on and he says, ontologies which have beings other than Dasein as their theme are going to be founded and motivated in the ontic structure of Dasein itself. What does all that mean? So this goes back to that notion that ontologies that are not taking Dasein as their starting point, human person or subjectivity or however you want to conceive of it at this point, that if they're not taking that, this kind of being, the being that can be concerned about its own being as its starting point, they are actually going to look to some other domain and they are going to thereby get some things right but other things wrong. Great example of this would be the contemporary fascination that people have for neuro-everything, right? Neuroscience, neuro-linguistics, neuroethics, neuro-this, neuro-that, neurocriminology. And all of this is really based in a very, very ontic conception of things, where all we really are our brains and the brain's relations with other things mediated through the nerves and you know, our senses and all of that sort of thing. It doesn't, I mean, the neuroscientific approach to things, it's very narrowing. And many of its proponents don't really see that. They think, aha, I've got the stone that interprets everything. I have got the one way to make sense out of all of our issues. We can get rid of a lot of, you know, classic philosophical problems. And Heidegger would say they're starting from the wrong starting point if their goal is to truly understand the human being in relation to the world. Instead, what we need to do is a fundamental ontology by taking Dasein as the theme for our ontology. Now, he does say one other thing that's very interesting towards the end of this. He says, the roots of the existential analysis, for their part, are ultimately existential, which is another way of saying, as he does immediately, they are ontic. So we never like lapse into some purely abstract or transcendental study that leaves us, the person who is engaged in the study, entirely behind, or treats our peculiarities, our concrete existence, as mere facts that we don't have to pay any attention to. No, we are ontic ontological. Our access to the ontological is going to be in part mediated through the ontic. And so there's going to be a constant back and forth. We actually need to take into account both of these dimensions. So hopefully this gives you, if not a perfect clarification of the distinction between ontic and ontological, at least some starting points. So as you go to the rest of being and time, what Heidegger is saying will make more sense. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.